Support for KNKX Connect comes from the Falconer family of Western Washington, supporters of a free, independent, and energetic press, who urge listeners to get involved in their local community and to support KNKX.
Cyrus Habib was elected Lieutenant Governor of Washington in 2016 when he was 35 years old. He is acting governor when Governor Inslee's out of state, which was happening quite frequently earlier when the governor was running for president. And he serves as president of the Senate. Lieutenant Governor Cyrus Habib, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So great to be here with you.
It's nice to have you here. I want to begin with, if we can, the current tensions between Iran and the United States. You were born in Baltimore County, Maryland, to parents who immigrated from Iran. You are the first, and I believe still, the only Iranian-American elected to statewide office in this country. Do you feel the urge to speak up when tensions escalate with Iran, as they have?
Yeah, you know, I'm not somebody who came up in politics by talking a lot about foreign policy. Of course, I have my views, surprisingly, they're not that relevant to service in the State House of Representatives or State Senate. But I do feel as though in this role as a statewide elected official and, as you mentioned, the highest ranking Iranian American in government, I do feel like it is incumbent upon me to represent the views of Iranian Americans as I see them, and particularly when civil liberties or civil rights are at issue, as they were this past week at our northern border.
I know you were particularly troubled by that, though there were reports from the Canadian border here in Washington State at Blaine that Americans of Iranian descent were detained trying to re-enter the U.S. The same weekend as the drone strike on Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. U.S. Customs and Border Protection said that was not true, that there were delays because of understaffing. What do you make of the federal government's response to that?
It's pure gaslighting, and the reason I know that is that some of the people who were held up on their way back into the United States are people that I've known for years personally. They're people who are friends of my parents, and they've known me since I was a kid. And so that's why I was the first one to hear about what had happened, because I got text messages and emails from Iranian Americans saying, hey, look, here's what just happened to me, or here's what happened to my loved ones or family members. And so, you know, what happened, which should disturb us all, is that United States citizens, Americans, were treated differently at the border for no other reason other than where their parents were born or where they might have been born, or what their last name is or whatever else might have flagged them as an American of Iranian descent. And so, you know, that is, in my mind, obviously different in degree from what happened to Japanese Americans in this very state. But it is similar in tenor, in the sense that it says, you know, when we are at, we have increased tensions with a foreign power, United States citizens, Americans who have ancestry from that country ought to be able to be racially profiled and treated differently. And so, you know, and to me, it's quite disappointing that CBP and Homeland Security denied it when we know for a fact that it happened. And to me, that speaks to the fact that they know that what they did was wrong. If they felt that it was justified legally to treat people unequally based on national origin, then they would have said that it was okay. But the fact they lied about it, I think, tells us everything we need to know.
I want to talk a little bit about your duties as Lieutenant Governor.
Sure.
You deal a lot with Washington State's interests in economic development, international relations. When we're talking about that and trade, what's the state's role on the world stage?
Well, we are, you know, I don't like using the phrase most trade-dependent state. It makes it sound like a substance abuse problem. I think, you know, we celebrate our global relationships. It's one of the reasons why our economy is so strong, maybe the number one reason why our economy is so strong. We're the number one exporter per capita of any state in America, and that's from apples to airplanes.
But I know there have been issues with the trade war, with especially a lot of growers, a lot of the agricultural community in this state concerned about our ability to trade with foreign countries as trade wars heat up.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. The way that this administration has handled our number one trading partner, which is China, It's, you know, it's the number one export destination for Washingtonians, Washington companies, and we are the number one state to export into China. So from all their American imports, we're the number one source. And so our relationship with China is extremely important to our economy, whether it's in manufacturing or in agriculture or in software or services. And while I'm pleased that the crisis with respect to U.S.-China and tariffs has abated somewhat in recent weeks, it's important to recognize how lasting the effects can be from even a 1 to 2 year escalation of trade tensions like what we saw under the Trump administration. I've heard this from growers and farmers in our state who have said, you know what, the problem is, even if you're only offline for 1 year, if your products, you know, if the Chinese do retaliatory tariffs and all of a sudden, you know, products from our state become unaffordable, then what happens is, you know, those distributors in China will go to another country. And now that they have that relationship set up, we got to try to get back in, right? And so those long-lasting trade channels, export channels and destinations were disrupted, and now the onus has got to be on us to get back in. That plus the fact that, of course, there's a, you know, if you're a Chinese importer, you're kind of wondering, well, how stable is this country that we're importing from, and could some Twitter storm change the nature of our supply chain?
Lots of questions in the trade realm. I want to wrap up as just real quickly here at the end. You fill in as acting governor when the governor's out of state, but one of your other roles is supporting Governor Inslee's administration and some of its priorities. What's the biggest challenge that Governor Inslee's administration will face this year as the legislative session gets underway?
Well, it's, you know, it's a pleasure for me to work with Governor Inslee. We're elected separately, but we share priorities, and he and I have worked together, even though we always say we don't run as a ticket, but we govern as a ticket. And I think as we sit here on the first day of a 60-day legislative session, I think the biggest challenge is the idea that sometimes people have when they come into this legislative session, these even-numbered years, these short years, this idea that, well, there's not much we can get done. You know, it's just a short session. Mm-hmm. It's just status quo. And I think when you look at the crisis of homelessness, not just in Seattle, though certainly there, not just in Tacoma, though certainly there, but all over our state, rural, suburban, and urban areas, I think there's no question that these 60 days, while a short period, shorter than an odd-numbered years, ought to be enough for us to make substantial change. So I think it's a mentality, but I think that as we brought the Senate into session today, I felt a positive energy that folks are ready to get busy and get to work.
All right. Lieutenant Governor Cyrus Habib, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.